Blog Talk Radio.
Mark Rawson, and you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Tonight, we're going to have a special show where we're going to talk about past life regression. Pam, are you there?
I am. Good evening, everyone. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I missed you with you kind of getting cleared up with some of those, you know, you were sick for a little bit and you didn't have a voice for a little bit.
I had the worst thing you could have as a radio host, which was laryngitis.
Well, I'm glad you're back and that you're doing well.
Thanks. I'm doing fine. You can still hear it a little bit in my voice, but I'm doing fine now.
Oh, that's great. So, so tonight me and Pam are going to spend the first half hour talking about past life regression and then also talking about, you know, answering some basic questions like what happens after you die and what happens life between life and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then after we take a break on the half hour, I'm going to come back and I'm going to do a past life regression meditation so that the listeners, meaning all of you out there, can have a past life experience. So I guess to get started with that, what I'd like to do is just answer some of the basic questions that I've received when I've kind of gone around and done some of these meditations at different psychic fairs and you know, different workshops and stuff around the country. I'll start by telling you that originally I got trained to do past life regression by Brian Weiss. I went to Omega for a week, which is a spiritual training place up in New York. And I got my past life certification from Brian. And then later on, I guess probably last year, when I was with Denise Lynn doing my coaching training out in California, I actually had a chance to get certified to do past life regression from Denise Lynn. And it was a lot of fun to kind of work with her also. Before I go into, you know, what is past life regression and everything like that, I'll circle back around and say, you know, Pam, what has your experience been with past life regression?
Well, I'm not certified as a past life regressionist by anyone. However, my experience started on a much more personal level. From the time I was maybe 18, I started putting past lives together. And this was from a series of biofeedback work. And the biofeedback work registered electrical resistance in your body. And one of the things that's interesting about our consciousness is that when you have a lot of resistance about something that's happened to you, you build electricity in your body. And when you remember that, even a tiny piece of that, that electrical resistance builds in the body. So it was an easy path toward putting these past lives together where you suddenly realize you're thinking, oh, well, that was just a dream I had once. And you begin putting tiny pieces together until you realize that this is much more intricate and detailed and clear than a dream could ever be. And you start realizing that, my God, that's real. So, you know, there's a lot of question about reincarnation, a lot of questions about past lives, and the path of the soul as it moves through one incarnation after another. But from a personal level, I've experienced it many times. And I've also, I work very closely with a woman named Patricia McGivern, who has also studied under Dr. Brian Weiss. She's a hypnotherapist. And we do a radio show on the first Tuesday of every month called Soul Traveler. And Soul Traveler deals with just that. We talk to people about their experiences in regression, what happened to them, what they felt, how they felt, the details and the circumstances, and when they came back to the moment, how that changed their life in the present moment. It's a fascinating show, and if you're interested in this, the path of the soul, it's a great show to listen to. You can go back and listen to it in the archives anytime. It's called Soul Traveler, and you can reach it on PamelaLatourRadio.com. Now, that's a minor plug for the show, but the foundation of it really is, and it's only a once a month show, so it's not like Spiritual Connections where we're on the radio all the time, but it's a fascinating show, and I think for anybody that's interested in the path that they've lived before, it's a great show to listen to. Also, Mark, I don't know if you know this, but I've been writing a television series based on some of my past lives, and it's a woman who goes to a hypnotherapist and experiences different past lives, and each experience has a clue that helps solve a mystery in the present. So that's been great fun to write too. So I've got a lot of different interesting things going on with past life regression, and this is just another one. So I'm looking forward to your regression at the half an hour mark.
Sounds good. Yeah, thank you for that. You know, one of the things that I think is kind of interesting and is that, you know, and I remember this, it actually kind of came up for me earlier today, because I was thinking about when I did the expo in Long Beach, California last year, and what I was doing as I was traveling around and setting up booths and running booths for Deborah King, who's a spiritual teacher. And I remember seeing the Scientologists there, and they seemed to have some device where they were checking resistance. And I just wanted to sidebar for a second and ask you if you know anything about like what that is. I saw them testing people, but I wasn't quite sure what they were doing.
That's called an e-meter, and it's based on the electrocephalograph machine. It registers electrical resistance in the body, and the way that I know this is because from when I was 18, I started having sudden and reoccurring exteriorizations from my body. I would suddenly be out of my body, looking at my body like I was dying. And trying to find the answer to this, as to why this was happening to me, took me to Scientology. Now, I did not get involved the way that you hear a lot of people getting involved, and I certainly wouldn't recommend that, because they get a grip on a lot of people's lives, from my opinion, from what I've seen, and I was there for like 8 years. But what I did, I never worked there. I never focused and devoted my life there. I went in and I exchanged e-meter sessions or auditing sessions with another student, and I learned as I went until I hit a point where I heard that what I heard was that some woman had come in and paid her way all the way to the top and now was an operating Thetan, and she could leave her body at will. And I said, well, I can leave my body at will. And they said, no, you can't. So I started, every time I get on the e-meter, I would leave my body, and the needle would float. And they came up with this, instead of being clear, which is what you'd have to do to go through all the steps in Scientology, they came up with this concept of natural clear, because when you leave your body, there's no more electrical resistance. So I decided that I didn't need Scientology anymore, and I left. Well, that was, you know, I don't know how many years ago, 30 years ago. But long time, long ago, far away. And Scientology has some amazing foundational information, which is what traps people in it. But then my opinion is that they really do try to push you into doing the next course. They call it an ethics officer, and they force you, or as much as they can force you, into paying for the next thing, the next auditing session, the next course. And if you don't, they put a suppressive person's bulletin out on you and say that no one is allowed to talk to you anymore, which at the time was fine because all of my friends weren't connected to Scientology. But for some people, it's really devastating. So you got to be careful with Scientology. If you know what you're doing, and if you can keep your distance, it's actually some good information.
Thank you for sharing that. So, you know, I guess, because I want to make sure before we, because we're going to get into some really nice meat when we start talking about what happens after we die. A lot of the knowledge that I'll be bringing in is going to come from my studies of Newton, who wrote the book Journey of Souls. And, you know, but before I go there, let me just answer some low-hanging fruit for everybody, and that is, these are a lot of the questions I've gotten when I was doing the past life regression at different workshops and at psychic fairs and stuff like that. And that is, what is past life regression? Past life regression, and the way I explain it for people who have never seen it, because we're actually going to do a regression on the half hour, is that it's like a guided meditation. And it basically gets you to calm down, relax, try to get that, what we call the monkey chatter, to kind of slow down and basically get you into a state where you can just be guided into an experience, and then it kind of unfolds basically, you know, in whatever way it's going to unfold for you. And I'm sure you've heard a lot of this stuff, Pam, from the show you do once a month with your friend where, you know, we kind of tell people right up front, don't set any expectations to what it's going to look like. Like a lot of people figure they're going to see this movie play in their heads, but, you know, for some people, it takes some time before they get used to doing this type of work. You know, for other people, it shows up as a knowing. It could show up as something you hear or you see or you feel and stuff like that. So, you know, one of the biggest things I always tell people about having a very successful experience through the meditation is to let go of your expectations on exactly how it's going to show up. And
that's good advice.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, okay. So I was just looking at the next question. Why do people do past life regression? And there's generally two reasons for that. For most of the people, because I generally do it at big events, my actual first experience of it was in Philadelphia in the convention center with Brian Weiss leading one to about 3,000 people. And that's generally what most people like. And the purpose of that past life regression in that situation is for you to kind of go through this meditation state and just have an experience and notice that you can notice one of your past lives. And, you know, I think for that answers a lot of questions. I know for me personally, as a religious man and as, you know, someone who came from a very strong religious base, for me, it gave me a lot of stuff. It gave me proof after death of life. It proved to me that there was a God, you know, not that I needed just that, but, you know, there's a lot of things that I think it gives you that, you know, is beyond the, oh, this is really cool. I was, you know, such and such in one of the previous past lives. But another reason that a lot of people come to me and ask me to do regressions, and it generally is the difference between a group one and then an individual one, is individuals will come to me and they'll have phobias, fears, they'll have, you know, some type of thing that they want cleared, and then the regression allows us to go back and go to the root of that specific past life that could be causing that. And That's actually a very interesting experience, because for me, that's what my first experience was when I was having my first regression, when I was with Brian Weiss, one of the psychiatrists in the group, who was my partner, actually took me into my first regression, and we went back to look for the reasons why I had a fear of heights, because there was nothing in this lifetime that would account for it. And the experience basically led me to find out that that I had gone to rescue somebody in one of my past lives when I was a bridge builder back in 1856. And I went to go help somebody who fell when they were working on the bridge, and I was able to get them to safety, but I actually fell and died. And when I was being regressed, one of the key things that the person said that I use when I'm working with people is go to the root cause of whatever the issue is. And for me, it was a fear of heights. And I automatically, when I was in the regression, flashed back to that past life. So the answer to why people do it is either do it because they just want to have the experience, or for other people, they do it to actually relieve some type of phobia or fear. What kind of stuff have you found from past life regression work from listening to the radio show that you do?
Well, from my own experience in past lives, there was one past life where I was killed by Jack the Ripper.
Back in
1864. And when I started writing this television show, I started looking, and this is a past life that I've had lots of time to put together, because I first remembered this past life when I was like, I don't know, 18 or 19 years old. So in my husband and many of my friends have heard the name Alice McKenzie, and I've talked about my past life as Alice McKenzie before. And the interesting thing is that when I started writing this this television show, I got on the internet because I didn't know anything about Jack the Ripper. I just knew my experience of Jack the Ripper. So I started looking up Jack the Ripper, and I got into Wikipedia, and there was a list of 11 women that were known to have been killed by Jack the Ripper, and there was Alice McKenzie, my name.
Wow.
So it's verification. And shortly after that, guess what? I got laryngitis.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. So I think at this point, you know, so we'll lay the foundation down very quickly for people who might not understand the concept of this, even though they might be spiritual. And that is, it's our belief as past life regressionists that, and for a lot of people who believe in reincarnation, which is actually, I think, Pam, do you know what the percentage of the world is that actually believes in reincarnation?
I don't. Do you?
I'm just going to throw out a mark guess, which people know I do. And I'm going to guess that I think 60% of the world believes in reincarnation. And that has a lot to do with most religions. And I'll aim and take a pot shot at Christianity, that most religions outside of Christianity actually believe in reincarnation. So
I think Islam is one of the biggest religions in the world right now, and they don't believe in reincarnation. Christianity doesn't believe in reincarnation. That I think there's a lot of doctrine that years and years ago were restructured to control people, and the doctrine, the religion, but the doctrine itself has taken out reincarnation out of many different holy books, so that people can, so that they can control people better. If you thought you were going to live forever and dying was just a transition, it'd be harder to control you.
Yeah.
So
I
think you're right.
Yeah, you're right on that, and that's exactly what happened. I forget who quoted it before, but someone had said that at one time there was thousands of references in the Old Testament of reincarnation and stuff like that, and most of that stuff, pretty much all of it, was pretty much removed. So Yeah, so thank you for that. Yeah, so when we look at this and we look at this idea, what we're talking about is that, and this is where we'll start to touch on some of Newton's work. So let me talk about Newton's work for a second. Newton kind of did the same type of work that Brian Weiss did. Brian Weiss's concentration was on what happens in one of your past lives and how you can actually have a meditation, have an experience, and go back and visit one of those past lives.
Right.
Newton, on the other hand, was more about, and he actually used deep level. It actually takes deep level hypnosis to get to what's called life between life regressions. So what exactly is the time period on a life between life? Well, life between life regressions is basically what happens from the time you die to the time you're reborn again. What happens in that time space? And the information, when we talk about the nature of some of the stuff I'm going to mention in a second, a lot of this information came from, like, you know, 55,000 cases of people being hypnotized around the world from every background, every religion, and everything that have gone through these experiences under Newton and have come back with a common pattern or understanding of what exactly it is that we've documented so far from all those case studies on exactly what happens when you die. And
so
you know,
what
it's
happens
pretty
when
much,
you die, Mark?
The process basically is that, of course, you leave your body and you're greeted, and there's different stories that go along with this depending on how much of a senior soul you are, how old of a soul you are. If you were like most souls, you'll be greeted by loved ones on the other side. You're greeted by your guides. You kind of go through a recovery time period where your soul energy is kind of regenerated. They talk about crystals and lights and sound vibration that basically brings your energy back up to whatever kind of lowering of energy or hit you took while you were dealing with the stuff in this lifetime. You go through a review process of looking at your life. Nothing that's judgmental. It's not like one of the movies I love watching is Defending Your Life, which was a really good comedy and a little bit of a love story. There is no judge. There's no group sitting around judging you for all the things you did. You know, of course, you know, from this and from all my studies and work I've done with mediumship, we already know already there is no hell. And there's no burning or being, you know, having to deal with that type of stuff. You know, after the review process, you then sit down with your master teachers and stuff to determine, you know, are you ready to reincarnate again? What exactly do you want to accomplish? And then once you determine your, what we call your contract, then a guide is brought in that will actually work with you that is a good fit to support whatever work it is you're going to do. You choose your family members. You know, there's a whole negotiation process of whoever's going to come in from your soul family to fit certain parts of your plan. And then you choose your body and basically you get born again and, you know, through that process. So, you know, through this process, I think one of the interesting things about past life regression is that so much of the stuff about your knowledge, if you thought about, okay, I've had 256 lifetimes or 10,000 lifetimes, think about how much knowledge, how experienced you would be, and think about how that might mess with if you had to learn something subtle. And what I think is very interesting is that so much of what you know is clear and removed. I like to say you're kind of dumbed down. You know, you definitely don't have the power of your soul, the total amount of your soul with you that you at least can grasp. You don't have all the understanding or the knowledge or the wisdom. Some people, I think, kind of bleed through with it. I was watching this little 8-year-old girl play what looked like Mozart piano from her head. And you see situations like that where people just, you know, that they were very gifted and whatever it is kind of carried through. But what I find so interesting is that for a spiritual process, so much is cleared that to me, in my own opinion, if something's left that has to be cleared through past life regression, I think it's for the purpose of that experience, because there's just too much detail to how cleared we are by the higher level beings when we come down on this planet for something to be like, oop, what, they made a mistake and allowed you to have a phobia,
right,
or you know, something like that.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I jump in here for just a second, Mark? Because I happen to have a lot of experience with this since, you know, most of my adult life I've been a shaman death walker. So I've unstuck souls is basically what that means. And I've done a lot of work in like the underworld where people go when there's so much resistance to dying, so much resistance to what happened to them that they can't let go of it enough to move and evolve onto where they're supposed to be. So this concept of resistance is an important, probably the most important part of our lives here, but also our death. Because when you go into resistance, that whatever it is that you're experiencing sticks to you. And if you die, and you're in such resistance of having died, or the way that you died, or who killed you, or your responsibility for somebody else's death, or whatever the issues are, the more you push against it, the more you resist it, the more stuck you are. Now, when you go through the death cycle, you go through, like the Tibetans call it, bardos, which are these states of consciousness, the states of transition from being alive to being in this afterlife energy. And it's kind of like dropping, like when you drop into a dream state, the reality world that's around you kind of melts away. And so you drop this world and you sort of pick up another one. And that's a bardo. You sort of drop this world and you pick up another state of consciousness. Well, after you die, there's like about a three-day time period where you go into this deep state. Now, this is according to the Tibetan Book of the Dead and also according to a lot of my memories. What happens is during that bardo, when you're in the deepest sleep, where you're connected to Source, what happens is if you go into resistance, because it's like a blackness, you go into this unknown darkness where you don't know up and down, you don't know right or left, there's kind of this floating feeling. And at that moment, if you stop resisting and you just let yourself be there, you'll move into an enlightened state of consciousness. But most of us resist it because it feels scary. And then we move through it and maintain our level of consciousness. We hold on to it and reach the other side with that same level of consciousness, which usually ends up expanding somewhat because of where we are. But we never quite get to the level of enlightenment that we sought to get to because of this shutdown fear resistance thing. Now, bringing gifts from one level to another, one lifetime to another, is interesting because I've often asked myself, well, why the hell can I do things and other people can't? Why do I feel this and other people don't feel it? Why do I, and anybody that has gifts, I'm sure you've got, and we all have gifts at some level relating to something or other. And how did you get those gifts? Well, when you move through those bardos, the more you develop electrical resistance, the more you resist, the more you push away the experience or fear the experience, the more you forget. Now, you know, it doesn't mean because you have one gift that you're completely enlightened, but what it does mean is the less you resist, the more you have the ability to bring things with you. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for that. Yeah. How does, you know, I've heard a couple of people actually state that they do that because I've heard of some people that will actually go in and assist people through the transition process. How is that taught? Are there shamans that teach that? Or?
Yeah, there are shamans that teach that. And what can happen is you can really hold someone's hand and walk them through it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all a level of, like, there is an underworld. There is a place for soul retrieval where someone either splits their soul because they're so heartbroken or they're in such terrible pain in this life where they actually, there is like a soul splitting thing where they hide part of themselves away. And that underworld is where that happens as well. Or where someone is in such terrible resistance that they are just kind of stuck there. It's more, not really a hell. It's more like a limbo where you can't move. You can't move because you're in such resistance. And you did it yourself. Nobody threw you there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the resistance is the key. The more you can go through this experience, even the regression, and release any anxiety or any upset or any resistance that you feel, because it's not happening to you right now. And if you talk to yourself in a way that's like, okay, this isn't happening, I can feel this, I can let myself feel it, you'll be much more successful at remembering past lives.
Mm. Excellent. Well, thank you for that. So thank you, Pam, for being on the show as always, and we're going to go ahead and go to commercial break.
Okay.
So I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find out more about this show and other shows by going on the Internet to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. As we mentioned earlier, Pam Latour Radio, as Pam talked about it earlier in the show, so make sure to check out all the shows over on the Sister Station Network. And if you go to the website today and scroll down to Spiritual Connections under the write-up for the show for today, I have a couple links that I'm sharing with everybody. One of them is a link for Brian Weiss. I got started with him by reading his book, Many Lives, Many Masters, which is a common, I think, book for a lot of people. So it's how a lot of people kind of found out about past life regression. It's actually how I found out about it. And I have a link there for Newton's book of Journey of Souls. So that's a very interesting book. If you have a chance to read it, it talks about how sometimes we don't reincarnate right away. Sometimes we just go on field trips with our soul family and go to other planets and learn how to create things like plants and life forms and all kinds of amazing things. So very interesting book if you ever have a chance to read it. And with that, what I'd like to do is talk about going in and doing a past life regression. So the way I want to mention that to everybody is to start off with a couple different things. As I mentioned earlier, it's really important that you not have an expectation on how the information is going to show up for you. I want to also mention to you that as much as the meditation that I'm going to do with you helps slow down a lot of the background noise in your mind, what I call the monkey chatter, it will not eliminate it. This is not a meditation to get you to gap your thoughts like a lot of meditation practices do. I'll actually tell you that with past life regression, it's actually very helpful that you have a lot of that mind thought going while you're having the experience. That's actually how you clear a past life phobia or fear, is by kind of having that mindset. And the way I'll explain that is, when you're in the past life experience, if you were doing this with somebody one-on-one for the purpose of clearing a phobia or some type of fear or whatever it is that you're trying to clear, the way it would work is you would actually be able to tell that you're being present inside your body in this lifetime. You'd be having the past lifetime experience. And because you can put the two together and go, well, yes, I see that I had that experience, but that's not who I am, you're able to actually clear the phobia. So, or whatever it is that you were trying to work on. So that's kind of interesting the way that works. And the reason why that works so well is because of the fact that some of the mind thought and everything is there during the past life experience. So as you're kind of having this experience, it doesn't really matter if you have thoughts that are kind of coming in and out. I want to let you know, as a lot of people have asked me this question, if for some reason you get disconnected in the middle of the regression, or if you, don't hear what I'm saying or whatever, don't worry about it. You'll simply fall asleep, and then you'll wake up probably within 15 minutes, and there's no problems and stuff like that. It's not like if you get disconnected from the radio show in the middle of the regression that it's going to do damage in any way to you. I will let you know, though, that because of the nature of what I'm doing, is a very relaxing thing that I have to tell you that you should not be listening to this if you're operating heavy equipment or if you're driving, because it is very possible that in the simplest form, what I'm about to do will actually put you to sleep. So just be very, very careful with that. We want to make sure that no one's driving or in any type of situation where you could endanger yourself or others. So with that, I'm going to spend the rest of the show kind of just going through this process with you and just kind of stepping through. And the way I'm going to do this is I'm just simply going to relax you, and then I'm going to guide you through an experience. And then when we're done, I'm going to bring you back out and bring you back into the state. And then we won't have the closing music for the show today because of the time. So with that, what I'd like you to do is just simply get into a very comfortable position. You can do this by laying down on a bed. You can do this sitting in a chair. You just basically just want to be comfortable. In the middle of the regression, if you get discomfort, you know, like if your leg falls asleep or you need to shift or anything, it's not going to harm anything. For you to reestablish your footings or move your legs around or move your arms and everything like that. The key thing is at this point, what I'd like you to do is to make sure to keep your eyes closed. You want to shut out all distractions as far as people ringing the doorbell or your phone going off or your cell phone making noise and stuff like that. So make sure you shut out all distractions. If you do notice any distractions while you are having the meditation, you simply want to allow those outside distractions to actually take you deeper and deeper relaxed into this regression. Excuse me. So with that, we are ready to go. So what I'd like you to do is just get comfortable and close your eyes and just take a deep breath in and just let it out. And as you let it out, I want you to let go of any stress or anything that you've had from the day. I want you to breathe in again. And just let out. You're just breathing regularly, just breathing in and out, relaxing all parts of your body, allowing yourself to go deeper and deeper relaxed. Through this process, you will always be in control. You're always safe. There's nothing in this experience that can harm you in any way. If there is anything that frightens you during this experience, just simply open your eyes. But this will be very easy and calming and relaxing for you. So just taking another deep breath in and letting it out. I want you to imagine as you breathe in and out that as you breathe in and out, that you're getting more and more relaxed. As energy is moving across your body, you're imagining a wave of energy, almost like an ocean wave. As you breathe out, it starts at the top of your head, and it, like an ocean wave, it just rolls all the way down to your feet, touching all parts of your body. And when you breathe in, that energy moves from your feet and goes all the way up to the top of your head, just slowly moving as you breathe. So as you breathe out, it moves down. And as you breathe in, it moves back up. As this wave of energy moves across your body, it touches that part of your body and makes that part of your body more and more relaxed, allowing yourself to relax all parts of your body as that energy moves across you, clearing you, refreshing you, energizing you. This energy is healing, moving across your body, making yourself more and more relaxed. Just breathing in, breathing out, going deeper and deeper relaxed. You feel the energy move across your body, relaxing all parts of it. Allowing yourself to go more and more relaxed as you breathe, letting go of all stress, relaxing, just breathing in and breathing out. Totally safe, totally protected. You're in control at all times. I'm going to count down now from 10 down to 1. As I count down, you're going to go deeper and deeper relaxed. 10, 9, all parts of your body totally relaxed now. 8, 7, 6, totally safe and control. 5, 4, 3, letting go of any wandering thoughts. Just relaxing, totally safe. 2, 1, totally relaxed. I want you to imagine that you're walking through a beautiful forest. It's so beautiful out. You can feel the sun on your face. You can feel the wind blowing through your hair. You hear animals around you. Just totally safe, just walking through the woods on this beautiful trail. Just walking, relaxed and safe. Down the trail, you notice that you come to a garden. It has a beautiful metal fence around it, a big iron gate that you open and walk through into the garden. As you walk into the garden, you notice that there's all this beautiful landscaping. There's trees to see and plants and flowers and birds flying around. It's little water fountains and beautiful water running through. There's a bench there for you to sit on to relax in this beautiful garden, this beautiful safe space. This is a place that you can always come anytime that you want to relax for a moment. And I want you to create a little map on how to get here. And the way you do that is you simply think about your favorite number, your favorite color, and your favorite symbol. Number, color, symbol. Whenever you want to come back to this place of relaxation, all you have to do is close your eyes, take a deep breath, think of your number, your color, and your symbol, and you'll automatically come back to this place. And after you're done in this place, you can simply take a deep breath and open your eyes, and you'll be back to wherever you are. So it allows you to have a sanctuary that you can go to anytime you want. So as you sit in the garden and feel the sun on your face and hear the birds just relaxing, allowing the calming energy of this place to clear your body of anything that's not for your highest good. Just letting go of anything that no longer serves you. Allowing it to lift off with the wind, be taken away. Allowing the energy to heal all of your body. Clearing you, refreshing you, empowering you. You sit here in the garden and just relax. Just allowing this energy that's in this space of nature to heal all parts of your body, to refresh you. We're just going to sit here for a moment. Just relax before we start our journey. Just relaxing, allowing ourselves to get more and more relaxed. Healing ourselves and letting go of anything that no longer serves us. Excellent. You're doing really good. We now get up from the bench from where we're sitting, and we start to walk across the garden to the other end of the garden. We walk through the gate and head down the path near the river. This beautiful stream of water running through the woods. We see all types of animals running around. As we head down this path in the woods, we come to this beautiful cottage. So we go up and walk into the cottage. It has so much beautiful woodwork inside. So many beautiful things to look at. We walk to the back of the cottage and see there's this beautiful staircase of light going down, down into the lower parts of this beautiful cottage, all lit up with different colors. A spiral staircase. As we step down, we go further, further back in time, more and more deeper relaxed. Allowing all parts of our body to relax. We're totally safe and in control. We step down the stairs, going further back in time. We set the intention for this trip that we want a past life that might be one of our most significant ones. Or you can state your own intention for this trip. As we go down the stairs, we go further, further back in time, totally safe and guarded, protected by the light. As we get to the bottom of the stairs, it's a beautiful lighted hallway, almost so much white light and protection and love in place that we almost can't see. We have to kind of squint our eyes, look down this beautiful hallway of light. And on each side of the hallway, there are doors. Each door has this beautiful handiwork of hard wood with carvings in it. So beautifully done. Each door a different color. So we walk down the hallway. We go further back in time, traveling safely to one of our past lives for the purpose that we set. You find the door that you want to walk through. You put your hand on the doorknob. And you open the door to find that you can walk into this room. It's filled with light. It seems so familiar. It feels so loving, surrounded with so much unconditional love for you, allowing yourself to be in this space, to have this experience. As you close the door behind you and walk across the room, this beautiful light almost becomes a fog. And the room goes on and on and on, and before you know it, you're walking out of the mountains into one of your past lives, into the town or city that you had in one of your past lives. As you come out of the fog, you start to see people. You start to see the village or town in one of your past lives. I want you to pause for a second, because at this point, your clothing that you wear is completely different and matched for the time period that you're in. With your eyes closed through this whole process, I want you, with your own imagination or knowing, or what you hear or see, whatever your experience is, you take a look at the outfit you're wearing and look around you. Look at this experience. Now that you're in this experience, in the safe time through this experience, I want you to be able to move around the space. And one of the greatest experiences we can have in a past life is to be at an event with our family. In some time periods, this was only on hall days at dinner, which might have been once a year or every 5 years. So I want you to go to the dinner table, to the kitchen of whatever it is of the people that you were with, sitting around the dining room table for a holiday, for supper, seeing all the people around you in this past life. I want you to look into each of their eyes as you look around the table. I want you to see what they look like. Look into their eyes, because as you look into their eyes, you'll recognize who they are. You'll know who they are. You recognize them from this lifetime and other lifetimes. Sharing this experience with family, I want you now to be able to just relax, and I'm going to allow you to go forward and backward through your life by 5, 10, 15 years in one direction or the other, by counting down from 3 to 2 to 1. And as we do that, it's almost like a VCR with a high-speed button. You'll be able to scan through your life and look at your lessons, the different experiences you had. You'll be totally safe. 3, 2, 1. Scanning through your life. 5, 10, 15 years in one direction. Going backwards. 5, 10, 15 years. Going through your entire life in a matter of seconds. Seeing all the lessons, all the experiences and everything you needed to learn. Excellent. We're now ready to get up and head back to the room. As we leave this past life behind us, I want you to take with you the memories and the experience, letting go of nothing that is for your highest good, meaning anything that might be dangerous for you or make you sick or anything. You're letting it all go and leaving it here, just bringing the memories and the experience with you that you want to remember, the lessons and everything. As you head back into the woods, you go back into the fog, leaving this past life behind you, letting go of things that no longer serve you, only bringing back the memories that you want to carry. You walk through the fog and you find yourself in that beautiful, loving room. You reach for the doorknob. And as you step through the door back into the hallway, you sever your time period in that past life, clearing any type of sickness or anything, only bringing the memories with you. Closing the door behind you, you're back in the hallway, heading down the end of the hall, going up the stairs. You go up to the top of the stairs. As you move up the stairs, you move forward in time, back to this time frame, back to the present, to your current life. As you go higher and higher up the stairs, you're more and more aware. coming back into this lifetime, totally safe, cleared of anything from any past lives that you no longer need to hang on to. You walk down the hallway out of the cottage. You walk up the hill back to the garden. When you're back in the garden, you walk across to the beautiful bench. You stand and look around the garden, knowing that you can come back to the safe garden here anytime you want, based on your little secret that you put together. Breathing in the healing energy of this space, letting go of things that no longer serve you, carrying with you the experiences of this past life regression meditation that you've done. You walk out of the garden. You walk back up into the woods, coming more into your body, bringing yourself back into the present, feeling yourself in the room, listening to my voice, counting down, 10, 9, back in your body, fully present, 8, 7, here with me, feeling your feet on the floor, letting go of things that no longer serve you, clearing of anything from this experience that you don't need to hang on to. Totally safe, totally in control. 3, 2, 1, in your body. I want you to move your feet. Feel yourself present in the room. Move your hands. Start to open your eyes. Look at something in the room to ground yourself in this space to bring you back into this time frame. And you're back with me. So I want to thank everybody for doing that past life regression meditation with me. You can go back and listen to that regression over and over again, setting a different intention for each of your past lives. I suggest that you do it only at this point if you're not working with somebody directly, that you do this just for going back and looking at some of your past lives. If you're trying to clear a phobia or a fear or something, it's best that you work with somebody one-on-one for that experience. So you can go to my website, which is on the website, markarawson.com. I do one-on-one past life regressions. You can go on Brian Weiss's website or do some research, and you'll find that there's a number of great qualified past life regressionists all around the world that are certified to do this work. And you really do want to work with somebody one-on-one. I will tell you that before you do work on somebody, it's really helpful to do something as simple as my meditations that I have, like this one I just did with you now, so that you can actually have this experience. As you do more and more of these general just journeys of learning how to relax and to have this experience, it allows you, when you do go to work with somebody later on, to be able to get into a regression very quickly and stuff like that. So I hope you enjoyed the show. As always, it's always great to have you on. And you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Good night, everybody.